Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Monday morning. Vince Ferrara coming up at high noon. We head east, check in with him in Knoxville, and then former Titan safety Bernard Pollard in the final hour of the program. So another loaded show here on this Monday, and right now we talk with TD. Teron Davenport on the line with us, ESPN, ESPN.com, NFL Nation reporter covering the Tennessee Titans. Teron, I know you're a baseball fan. I don't know if you got a chance to watch Long Gone Summer last night. If you did, what did you think?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch it. It was pretty good, man. Reminded me of that summer. I remember that home run race. I remember the home run derby, man. It was a lot of fun, even though, you know, I'm not a fan of either team. It still was cool to watch. I enjoyed it.
The what we were just talking about. How do you think you would have handled it? You played sports. If you were introduced to that in whatever sport you were playing and you knew it could advance you or enhance your playing ability, how do you think you would have handled that if there were no rules or penalties?
I would have stayed away from it because, you know, seeing what happened to Lyle Alzado, that really did it for me. And, you know, I had a college teammate who fooled with that stuff. And, there was no way I was going to touch that, man. The furthest I went was creatine. You know, that was about as supplemental as I was getting. Because, like I said, that Lyle Alzado, seeing how he just deteriorated, you know, that one kind of had an effect on me that made me for sure wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, something off the beaten path of the Titans that we're getting to in just a moment. I actually, over the weekend, watched the E60 piece on Alex Smith, and it's the first time I've actually watched it from start to finish.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A hard watch, man. That is a real – for someone who is squeamish and somebody who doesn't like needles or blood or, like, I could never be a doctor ever because I couldn't do that. I just don't like to look at that stuff. That was a hard watch. Man, I didn't realize what Alex Smith has gone through over the last couple of years.
Yeah, when they showed the calf, like with just like the flat, like, oh
yeah,
it was tough watching. But I remember when Alex Smith was drafted. I remember there was one game in I want to say 08. He that training camp, he re-injured his shoulder. And he was out for the year. And I remember standing there in the dugout, you know, and they, because at Candlestick, the entrance to the players' locker room was the dugout, the old Giants dugout.
Yep.
And I remember him walking back towards the dugout and fans just rained down on him with boos, man. I felt so bad for that dude. So it was good to see him go out there in 11 and have the season that he had before he had the concussion and then the seasons with the Chiefs. So definitely a lot that he went through. Alex Smith is a good dude. He did a lot of stuff for the community that just went undocumented. And I think it's great that he's on his way back, and I wish him the best.
Good stuff. We talked about this, I think, on Friday's show. You know, on one hand, you really, really applaud Derrick Henry. He's being a team guy. He's doing, what fans should want. He's not trying to take the Le'Veon Bell or Melvin Gordon or now Dalvin Cook approach or Ezekiel Elliott and make things really difficult and make it a story day in and day out. He could have easily not signed the tender, and it would have been a story day in and day out until whatever happened by July 15th. But instead he signed it. So it's really turned into, I don't want to say a non-story, but not much of a story. So how do you think this is going to play out? Because we are exactly a month away from either learning that he's got a new deal or he's going to play on that one-year tender. So how do you think it's going to play out in the next month?
From everything that we've been told, they're going to get a deal done. They're working to get it done. So I think you have to kind of go by that. But if they don't get a deal done, I'll tell you one thing. There is no such thing as a hometown discount afterwards, you know, because I think Derrick Henry, he led the league in rushing, right? And he established himself as one of the best runners with the ball. So he definitely deserves to get a deal done. I know, you know, they're working to get it done, but at the same time, to have to play on the tag is kind of unfortunate, especially given as though he's someone that gets so many touches and is relied upon so heavily to make that offense go.
So do you think John Robinson is trying to play the shell game? He's moving around the shells and seeing which one's going to fall into place, or, you know, musical chairs, waiting for the music to stop, and how much is that tied to, you know, the uncertainty of Clowney? Because there's going to be a lot of money attached to that. Because that's still in play, do you think that's what's holding it up?
I don't really think that's what's holding it up. I think really when you have a guy who's coming off the rushing title, right, established himself as last year the best running back as far as running the football is concerned, I think you have that, and then you have one of the major agents in Jimmy Sexton. When I look at both of those things, it tells me, listen, one of the parts of the deal has to be the most ever for a running back. And if it's not, it's almost like Jimmy Sexton didn't maximize the opportunity. So I think that may be what's in the way, just figuring out what is going to be an all-time high. Is it going to be average salary? Is it going to be guaranteed money? Is it going to be fully guaranteed money? What is it going to be? And I think that's in my opinion, a hurdle that they have to figure out.
Teron Davenport is with us. And as you say that, Teron, I think you're right. But I do wonder, and as you know, I was watching some discussion along the lines of Dak Prescott's negotiation as well. Looking ahead, we know the NFL is not in as precarious a position as other leagues because they don't rely on the gate as much. So if they go through a season with partial fans, no fans in some cases, whatever ends up happening, financially, they still should be okay as long as they're able to play the games and televise the games. But I do wonder if the economics in front of them are slowing down the ability to hit a new level, right? If you're Derrick Henry, you just laid it out perfectly. You know, they want to raise the bar. They're in a position to take advantage of this one opportunity they're going to have, you know, as client and agent here. But it has to be clouded a little bit with the uncertainty of what we're going to see in terms of revenue generated.
Yeah, I would think it's going to be somewhat clouded because, hey, I mean, let's face it, the gate is not the biggest revenue stream, but it's a significant one. So if that is going to be different, then yeah, for sure, these guys are going to, you know, lose money, and you have to make sure that you adjust accordingly. So, that's a good point.
How intertwined, I think Darren was getting at this a little bit too, but I'd love to hear you discuss it a little bit further. We got into an interesting debate, which I hadn't really thought about on until Friday when we started kicking it around, is how intertwined we think the Henry deal, the certainty of knowing where it's going to be the next 2 or 3 years, and what you have to offer a guy like Clowney at this point. How intertwined are they in your mind?
I really don't think they're very intertwined, to be honest with you. I think they have the financial situation to handle both of them. And I don't think that's going to be too much of an issue. I feel like as if the main thing right now is getting things situated with Henry. And obviously Clowney is a guy that they feel that matches what they want to do, and the fit is there. But I mean, at this point, you don't know. But one thing you do know is that Derrick Henry will be suiting up for you. So in my opinion, I think it's not as intertwined. I think Henry is more of a certainty, and I don't think that they're allowing the question marks around Clowney to cloud what they're trying to do with Henry.
Do you think as we go into July, let's just take July 4th, that Clowney will still be sitting there as a free agent?
I do. I think he'll be sitting there into just before training camp, to be honest with you. And
really?
Again, as things continue to get closer to training camp, that just points more in the direction of him becoming a Tennessee Titan. But I think he will sit because, you know, between now and July 4th, what real certainty, more certainty can they get as far as what's going to happen with the season and training camp? So I think for sure he's going to be around at that time.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, and I want to get your thoughts on something that's not Titans related. It's sports related. I'm sure that you have seen, like a lot of us, that Alvin Kamara, Bernard Pollard, they've been tweeting about NASCAR because NASCAR's announcement last week that they've banned the Confederate flag at races. Bubba Wallace, of course, is an African-American driver who's been speaking out against that. And Alvin Kamara actually was a guest of NASCAR at the races yesterday and donned Bubba Wallace gear. I think this is very cool. It's another way of sports bringing people together. I think it shows the support for culture and everything going on in our world right now. But I was just curious of your thoughts about that and Alvin Kamara going to the race.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool that you're starting to see that cross promotion between the NFL and NASCAR. And just the fact that he was there, Alvin Kamara, to support, that also opens up, because I'm going to look at it for what it is. It's definitely an opportunity for them to expand into a new market, a relatively untapped market. So if you could get guys like Bubba Wallace to cross over into guys like Alvin Kamara and you know, more, Brad Daugherty is another guy that they could use to get that black fan into NASCAR. And I think that's a whole area that is relatively untapped, and that will only do good for the sport itself. So yeah, it's good on all angles, and it's definitely good to see, you know, people coming together. I've never been to a NASCAR event, but being as though it's going to be right here in Nashville at some point, I definitely intend to go see a game or a game, go see a race. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, TD, we're getting you to a race, that's for sure, because I think you would enjoy it. Because I've been a fan of the sport for a very, very long time, but I also know the stigma that was connected to it. And, yeah, the Confederate flag was very prominent at a racetrack, and I'm glad to see them make those changes. But I'm curious for you, just, you know, somebody from Philadelphia, from the north, where maybe it's not as prevalent. Pennsylvania, of course, has the races at Pocono. But how did you view the sport before maybe what's happened in the last few weeks and what's been going on?
Honestly, I never really paid attention to it, to tell you the truth. I viewed it as a sport that was kind of after the major three sports, right? And then fourth with hockey. So I never really even paid attention to it that much. I remember Jeff Gordon, you know, so I was you know, I would read about him in Sports Illustrated and whatnot and see him on SportsCenter, but for the most part, I just distanced myself. It's not really something that's huge for the sports fans up in the north, northeast especially.
What did you make of the statement that Amy Adams Strunk put out last week?
I thought it was outstanding, and it just further shows how thorough of a person she is, right? And I really have been impressed with Miss Amy just in my time here, right? You know, getting to deal with her in different circumstances and just seeing the way the players love her and the way that she interacts with the players, I think is just another example, right? And for me, I pair this with when Jeffrey Simmons was drafted and the way that she, you know, stood up for him. I loved it, and now she's willing to stand up for her players if they choose to peacefully protest, and I think it's just outstanding. Her statement really said a lot, and it was actually more than most other owners said, you know, at that point. And I think, you know, what she's willing to do is awesome. And then furthermore, this is a lady who puts her money where her mouth is, because you look at around this time last year, they – put out a lot of money. I want to say $450,000, I believe it was, but they donated money to different organizations within the Nashville area that, you know, if it wasn't social injustice, it was, you know, making things better in the community. one way or the other, it was impacting the minorities. And I think, you know, what she's done has just been an excellent example of how you should be as a person when you're in such a powerful position.
Last thing. Will Colin Kaepernick be on a roster this upcoming NFL season?
That's something I'm going to believe when I see. So I'm going to say until he is on a roster, I won't believe it. So in my opinion, no. Although I think he is a very capable player, but I'm going to say no. And you know, I challenge the NFL to prove me wrong.
Are you familiar with the game show Let's Make a Deal?
No, I don't watch too many game shows. My wife, she's always on Game Show Network, and she knows that's a good way to get me out of the room.
So do you want to know what's behind? Do you want to know what's behind door number two, or are you just fine ending it like this? Or do you want to take a sneak peek behind door number two?
You might as well let me know. Give me a peek.
Let's do it. Good choice, Teron. Let's end with this. Let's peek behind door number two. You know, on this show, we've talked a lot about the Titans' backup quarterback situation. What could be behind door number two? Do you think that is something that John Robinson and the Titans should explore as a potential landing spot?
I think it should definitely be explored. I mean, he has a game that is similar to Ryan Tannehill's as far as, you know, being a mobile player, a mobile quarterback. Being a quarterback that can make plays down the field, I think it should be explored. Yeah, for sure. Why not? You don't lose anything.
You can tell your wife you played a little bit of Let's Make a Deal today. She'll be proud of you.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great week.
Yeah, you guys take it easy.
All right. We were just talking with TD. That is his podcast. Check it out every week. He does a tremendous job. Usually drops it on Wednesdays. You can hear it, of course, on these airwaves as well. We will come back and discuss that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.